good morning to you, Tucson, and all of Southern Arizona. Welcome live here out of the Common Workspace Studios, Tipping Point, with Zach Genser on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, daily in-depth news, conversation, and talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. I am your host, Zach Genser, and happy Monday to you. Happy Monday of a short week as we cruise faster and faster towards Thanksgiving, always right on time. Wishing you and yours a great week as the holiday season really starts to kick off. You can start to feel it. Thanksgiving. Hope you have great plans with family and friends safely during these weird times. And again, we're cruising towards the end of the year. So looking forward to doing this with you here. A short week as we talk about people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. Looking forward to our conversation ahead. Louis Christensen is back of the Twitter feed Tucson Tomorrow. We're going to talk affordable housing, the economic philosophy of the ice rink, Arizona sports, some highs and lows, University of Arizona sports, and fun with maps, Tucson transportation in a few maps. This is why we have Louis on. It is a smorgasbord of fun Tucson things, critiques and celebrations of the city that we love. That should be your Twitter byline. Louis Christensen, good morning to you.
Yeah, I like that, Zach. Thank you. Yeah, happy Monday to you.
I'm all about that alliteration, although I don't think celebration and critique is true alliteration, but it both begins with C. So
feels like it.
So that's the list you gave me. I think that's the list you're still coming in with. I'm looking forward to getting going. 520-790-2040 is the live line Louis used to call in today, and it's the number you can use to join our conversation at any point. Louis, we have four segments. We have four topics. We might as well jump in on this Monday morning news hour as we get you easily into your week here on the program talking about the issues of the day. Where do you want to start, Louis? There's a lot to talk about here.
Let's start with Arizona sports, since we just kind of had breaking news, you know, maybe about 30 minutes ago, it looks like. So
okay.
I know, right?
Break the news. Let's do it.
I know. All right, so those who don't know, defensive coordinator Don Brown used to be the head coach for the University of Massachusetts football team, and he will be returning there next year as their head coach. Now, initial reaction, as some may have seen on my Twitter feed, is just weeping, openly weeping, and more weeping.
You can cry live on the air, Louis, if you want.
I won't judge you.
It'd make great radio. I won't judge you, but
if it wasn't for our fantastic basketball team, which I'll talk about next, I would definitely be open on the radio, right? Thank you for that, Tommy Lloyd. But no, it's obviously a big loss, more so on, I think, the game planning, not really recruiting, but game planning and locker room feel of the team, losing Don Brown. He was a good recruiter, but as Jason Shear pointed out earlier today, he's not like an elite level recruiter for U of A. It just hasn't been that way. He is going to coach this weekend, which is a great thing. And I, in a weird way, I think that this is really going to amp the team up. Like I said, he's more of a locker room guy than a recruiting guy. So you better believe that he's wanting to showcase exactly why he's worthy of this second chance head coaching job. So I'm hoping for a good game this weekend out of our defense, and we'll need it.
So Louis, I wanted to slip this in, and we might as well, because we're going to go on to a bit greener pastures. Although I think U of A football is going in the right direction, and this is not a sports show. We're going to just do a few minutes on this. But Louis, you've shared, and I just think this is worth mentioning. You know, Lute Olson, great guy, good basketball coach. A huge piece of why Louis Christensen is in Tucson. I think, you know, we this is a local show about Tucson politics, news, business, and issues. But in this town, our U of A sports especially really are a glue that ties us together and a thing that we can all celebrate, and has a huge impact on our economy, our culture, our community. You just can't get around it. So that's my excuse.
Yeah,
every now and again, this is worth touching on.
You know, and it really is. Like, even if you're not a sports fan, there is no denying the importance of Lute Olson, and you can even kind of extend that out to Tomlin, on the city of Tucson. Like you kind of pitched, it's very true. The reason I am still in Tucson, or, you know, at least spent my time here in Tucson during college, was because I grew up here and wanted nothing more than to be in the Zona Zoo. watching that those games at McHale. And I can guarantee you there's a lot of people here today or who are wanting to come back who can draw that dotted line straight back to the athletic department. And like you said, it's a major win for our economics. Like, it's, man, if we had more, if the Pac-12 is actually a good traveling conference, thank you, Larry Scott, for completely dismantling us.
Nobody wants to travel for an 8 p.m. game. I just don't understand.
I know, right? ridiculous. So, yeah, when the Pac-12 gets back to that that level and we can really get this thing going again, that's an economic boost to every restaurant, every retailer, every hotelier, Airbnb, whatever. It is a good thing to have good sports in Tucson, even if you're not there watching the game.
Louis, I rabbit trailed off a rabbit trail. You were going somewhere, and I think this is where you were going, and that is, we're talking about Don Brown leaving. The defense, I think, was you could see the defense really catching steam a whole lot faster than the offense for these U of A Wildcats on the football side. He's taking off for UMass. But real quick before we go to basketball and then a break, your prediction for the game this week. Are we going to see another 70-7 billboard somewhere on the I-10? Is it going to be that bad? Is it going to be worse?
No.
Is it going to be better?
But are you sure? Here's what I would say. If you're a betting man, and you can be now legally in Arizona, I would definitely be putting money on, and probably will be putting money on, Arizona covering. Right now, the spread is set at 20 points favoring ASU, and the line, the over-under, the amount of points scored in the game, since this is not a sports show, I'll throw that out there, the amount of points, total points scored in the game, is currently set at 52 in most books. I would call the over on that. I would guess, I think it's going to be a really close game. It's really going to come down to passion versus talent. I think Arizona is a more passionate team. I think ASU is a more talented team. Coaching, question mark. I could see this coming down to penalties. I could see an upset here. I don't think it's going to happen. I just think that at the end of the day, we just have too big of holes left by a radioactive previous coaching era. Mm-hmm. So I would say it's going to be like 32-34. We'll miss an extra point or something in there. Yeah,
32-34.
Yeah, go ahead and write that down. But I would definitely be calling. I think we cover the spread. We keep doing that against really. We step up. We cover spreads against good teams. Now can we talk about basketball?
Let's do it. Let's do it. Louis Christensen, if you're just joining us, we might go a minute or two over on this segment, but it's worth it. We're with Louis Christensen here for our Monday Morning News Hour. He runs Tucson Tomorrow on Twitter, a cheeky take celebrating and critiquing both where it's needed, this town we love called Tucson, Arizona. We're touching on U of A sports. We'll get to housing, the economic philosophy of the ice rink, sounds deep, and Tucson transportation the rest of the hour. We got Louis the whole hour. Okay, Louis, how about that 5-0 U of A men's basketball team that just beat, was it number 4 Michigan? Come on, man.
An unranked Arizona team, which is ridiculous. Wait. Now, granted, we haven't beat anyone with a good name yet, and until, obviously this tournament, Wichita State has, become kind of a storied program a little bit with some Cinderella upsets, and then obviously upsetting Michigan.
Not only upsetting Louis, but thoroughly whipping.
it was just consistent. There was never a moment throughout the entire game where I felt nervous, which for me is rare. And maybe that's because I have seen a lot of Sean Miller games where he just loved to keep it close for some reason. Tommy Lloyd is not afraid to step on throats, and it is so much fun to watch. Like, if you haven't watched this season yet and you consider yourself an Arizona fan, first off, you're probably not if you haven't watched one yet, but watch it. These guys are so much fun. Coloco is amazing. What a fun squad. We'll clearly be ranked. I would guess we get somewhere in that, like, maybe 18, 19, 20 spot in the country, just because there's a lot of teams that are ahead of us that also haven't lost. And so I would say we're probably number 19 in the country right now in the AP poll coming out here pretty soon. That'd be my bet. But man, Tommy Lloyd is just like, man, Tommy Lloyd, Adia Barnes, and Jed Fish. Like, these are three crazy passionate people.
Yeah.
Again, if I can put them onto a ballot for like our city council or mayor, holy cow. Like, the amount of like dedication, commitment, excitement, and just ability to get people up and going is just palpable with these folks. So I'm super pumped in the direction that Arizona's going across the board.
Yep. Yeah, no, I don't want to belabor this because we do have to go. But, I mean, we talk about the situation that Jed Fish took over on the football side. It wasn't like everything was dreamy on the basketball side either, between NCAA stuff, between recruiting. I mean, it's not like it's not like Lloyd stepped into, you know, like Lute Olson just handed him something that was really good. I mean, Tommy has had to do his own bit of work and certainly is better than on the football side. But, I mean, 5-0, beating Michigan that way, U of A fans got to be really happy. And you're right. I think there's a trio of major program coaches that I think could deliver a lot of fun to Tucson over the coming years.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm excited, man.
Yeah, I know we got to cut to break here in a second, but, you know, to Sean Miller's credit, and Tommy Lloyd did say that, you know, I don't think Sean Miller was the best in-game coach, but gosh darn it, he was a fantastic practice coach and recruiter. So even though those guys don't have a bunch of stars after their name, those were really, really hand-picked guys from a good recruiter and a good practice coach, and Miller definitely gave them the discipline necessary. Tommy Lloyd has just set all these guys free with his game planning.
I think Lloyd's going to get those top 10 recruits. I think Lloyd's going to hit that level.
Yeah, I mean, he was at Gonzaga. he was their number one recruiter. So, yeah, very different situation coming from a coach who, ask anyone, someone was not that that competent. Miller was a different guy. Obviously, we had to move on, but just bear down, everyone. Just start watching. Get on board with this thing. It's going to go places.
Louis, I've said this live on the air. In another life, I hope to be a radio sports show host. As you can tell, I love this stuff, and every now and again it leaks out. But I'm happy to talk sports with you anytime, Louis. But we're going to talk housing. We're going to talk economic philosophy of the ice rink. We're going to talk Tucson transportation the whole rest of the hour. Louis Christensen is with us. Tucson tomorrow. Check him out on Twitter. A cheeky, fun, celebratory, sometimes often critiquing take of Tucson. But it's all because we love this city we call home, Tucson, Arizona. Bear down as well. We'll be right back, Tucson. Louis Christensen on the other side. Don't go anywhere.
Issues with real people. Tipping Point with Zach Yenser. 1030 The Voice.
In 2021, FC Tucson was just getting started. We're building something special that all of Tucson can be proud of. Don't miss FC Tucson in action in 2022. Secure your season tickets now at fctucson.com or call 520-600-3095 and download the FC Tucson app in the App Store or Google Play to get updates on MLS preseason as FC Tucson welcomes the biggest teams in U.S. soccer in January and February.
In 1994, the University of Arizona took the bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. With over 25 years of success, Tech Parks Arizona continues to advance innovation. Whether it's the nearly 60 startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new Tech Park at the Bridges currently under construction, they are integral in shaping the future of Southern Arizona. Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business.
When looking at retirement planning, conventional thinking asks, how do I get a higher return? Should I take on more risk or is there a better product? Jason Robinson and his team at MassMutual focuses on the overall strategy first. He and his team of advisors have the tools necessary to measure the proper balance of investments and actuarial science for the best path possible for the highest retirement income. Call Jason and his team at 520-274-3749 to have them run through an analysis at no cost to see how much more efficient you can be and tell them Zach sent you over.
What are the community stories that define us? Talking about these stories are what Tipping Point is about and what Storyteller PR, a public relations firm in Tucson, has been doing meaningfully for years in our community. Storyteller PR activates publicity, social media, and event production to establish and strengthen the reputation of Southern Arizona brands and organizations. What story do you need to tell? Visit us at StorytellerPR.com to learn more.
The economy is moving forward, and Arizona businesses are looking at new opportunities and challenges as we emerge from COVID-19. Leading companies are planning how to respond to new business and rebuild their teams and are looking for critical talent now. The right talent in key positions will make all the difference, and having a trusted and dedicated talent acquisition partner will give you an edge. Devin and her team at Talent Store will connect you with top talent while positively impacting time to hire, retention, and your employer brand. Learn more by visiting yourtalentstore.com and scheduling time with Devin and her team.
When you manage your money with a credit union, you're taking true ownership of your finances and how your money impacts the community. Stop letting banking just happen to you. Bring your money home to Vantage West, federally insured by NCUA.
Helping you make better money decisions is what the Ramsey Show is all about. Today at 1 p.m. on 1030 The Voice.
And we're back, Tucson and all of Southern Arizona, coming to you live out of the Common Workspace Studios, Tipping Point, with Zach Yenser here on AM 1030 KVY. The Voice is what you're listening to right now. It's our Monday morning news hour, where we get you into the week, talking about the people, ideas, and issues coming out of the weekend, shaping the week ahead. We're with Louis Christensen this morning. Check him out. He curates the Twitter feed, Twitter account, Tucson Tomorrow. Always interesting stuff, and we have him here on the show to talk about it. We talked some UVA sports in the first segment. We won't touch it again, but super fun segment. Check it out on the podcast. We've got a few minutes here before bottom of the hour. Louis, you texted me, let's talk the economic philosophy of the ice rink, all in caps. And I don't know what you're talking about, but I figure we can talk about it here. What is the economic philosophy of the ice rink, and what does that have to do with Tucson?
I knew that's. I always like to throw you kind of like hidden leaders just to get you interested.
So shows my level of trust in you, Louis. Shows my level.
Right, exactly. I like it. We've talked a little bit about this before, but I'm like, hey, let's put a name to this thing, especially with the ice rink opening up in downtown Tucson this past weekend. Granted, it melted because December's not our coldest month here, despite it being the most festive month. But it's back now. You can go back now with the clouds. So really the economic, what did I call it? The economic philosophy of the the ice rink is we need to find revenue multipliers here in Tucson when we look at the overall city layout. It's something that Phoenix and Scottsdale and pretty much all of Maricopa County is really, really good at. If you're going to spend money doing something, spend it in a place or on something that creates more money in the long run, a.k.a. buy investments, not liabilities. If the city of Tucson was in charge of this thing, the ice rink that is, they probably would have put it at Keno Complex and no one would have come and it would have just sat there and melted and it would have just been a flop. Instead, you put it in downtown Tucson where people already are walking around. They might just hop over and pay for the ticket, but really the end goal is not the ticket sale, right? That's kind of like your lost leader. The real goal is to get more people parking down there, more people spending money at the restaurants, people taking a full evening to do something down there, and so it generates more revenue because of where it is. I would really like to see Tucson really jumping on top of that. Granted, they're kind of in a damned if you do, damned if you don't type of a situation where if they do something too close to where folks with money, are believed to be or are, then they're just helping out the wealthy people in Tucson. And then if you do it in a neighborhood that is in need, then you get blamed for gentrification. So I definitely feel for them a little bit, but we have to figure out how we can take, money from the state or grant funding or, investments that we, the taxpayer, are, kind of forced to make sometimes, and putting them in places where we're going to see revenue really, really spike quickly, I think is something that we just need to kind of think about in the grand scheme of things. It's kind of a heady up there. That's why I call it philosophy, not a practice. But that's kind of a thought that I was having over the weekend.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of the concept of Rio Nuevo, too, in a bit more of a macro sense, is using, a small portion of tax dollars to create an economic multiplier in places where it can be. And I know Rio Nuevo is involved in the ice rink as well. that was an accidental connection. Do you remember, do you have an estimate for how many people use the ice rink? Do you remember those numbers off the top of your head every year?
I can't off the top of my head because it was so long ago and we had something happen in 2020 that kind of like dominated news cycles. So it just really, I can't remember. Now, this is very, firsthand experience, but in the building where I worked, where we officed my company, was right next to the ice rink, and man, that thing was packed every single day, starting at like 4 o'clock. So again, if we didn't pay it off in the first year, we're going to be paying that thing off now, and we have it for a while. But again, it's not just about the ticket sale. It's about the full picture. I talk to people driving in from Vail who are going to the ice rink and then going Christmas shopping the next day, spending money at a hotel, right? So that helps out Visit Tucson. That helps out hoteliers. That helps out restaurants. That helps out everybody in the situation. So again, you just got to find the revenue multipliers. Arizona sports is another one of them, right? Like, the better Arizona sports does, the more people come in, the more exposure Tucson has to the business folks, people looking to move somewhere, you know, potential employee opportunities. I work in the travel industry. Hardly anyone moves somewhere without first being a visitor there. Whether you're visiting your great aunts or going on a business trip or going for food, most people visit somewhere before that conversation with a recruiter. So, the more attractive we can get Tucson looking, the better. And I just feel like looking back on Tucson's history, I mean, how long ago did we lose baseball? I hate bringing it up.
I know.
But part of that was because we had a really good thing going, and instead of investing in that thing, we invested elsewhere and hoped that if we build it, they will come, and no one came. Well, what we did is Phoenix took their money that they got, and they attracted something. They built something that people wanted to be a part of. They built a multi-level entertainment facility. They didn't just build a ballpark in the middle of, kind of a urban island. They went out and they built a hotel space, an entertainment space, and then the field. Right? If we want to get more Little League tournaments here, which is big money, if we want the Fort Lowell Shootout to be an even bigger thing, we have to think about folks who aren't in town. We have to think about folks who are coming in, needing a place to stay, needing a place to eat and drink with their teams, even if it's at whatever, a little pizza spot and it's soda and not a round of beers. We need it to be easy for them to spend the money here. And right now, we're just not spending the money in all the focused places to get that multiplier effect.
Mm. Gotcha. You know, I want to tease this question maybe two questions, Louie. Maybe this takes us to the other side of the break. I don't know if I don't think I have time for your answer, but I want to tease this. You know, the Keno Sports Complex expansion that was approved earlier in the summer is looking to bring restaurants, hotels, kind of things like that to the Keno area. Yeah. I want to get your thoughts on the other side of the break, what you think of that. And then super quickly, because we have a lot to get to, you track what people who visit Tucson, what they think about Tucson. I want to know, is that first impression improving, staying par, or is it not improving? And I'd love to get your thoughts on that. If people make a decision to come here based on what their visit's like, what are their visits like in Tucson? Maybe those quick things on the other side, Louie. We're with Louie Christensen, Tucson Tomorrow on Twitter. It's our Monday Morning News Hour. We'll be right back after a short break here. Tipping Point returns on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
In 2021, FC Tucson was just getting started. We're building something special that all of Tucson can be proud of. Don't miss FC Tucson in action in 2022. Secure your season tickets now at fctucson.com or call 520-600-3095 and download the FC Tucson app in the App Store or Google Play to get updates on MLS preseason as FC Tucson welcomes the biggest teams in U.S. soccer in January and February.
You love Decibel Coffee Works, the coffee of Tipping Point and the Yenser household, for their quality roasted coffee and beans. Now they're giving you even more reasons. Open now, the Scratch Kitchen at the MSA Annex will provide quick and easy breakfast and lunch with vegetarian and vegan options available to enjoy with your drink. Visit the MSA Annex right off the I-10 and Cushing to be one of the first to try. 267 South Avenida del Convento. In 1994, the University of Arizona took the bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. With over 25 years of success, Tech Parks Arizona continues to advance innovation. Whether it's the nearly 60 startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new Tech Park at the Bridges currently under construction, they are integral in shaping the future of Southern Arizona. Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business.
When you manage your money with a credit union, you're taking true ownership of your finances and how your money impacts the community. Stop letting banking just happen to you. Bring your money home to Vantage West, federally insured by NCUA.
Life isn't about money, but how you handle money impacts everything. The Ramsey Show, today at 1 on 1030 The Voice.
And we're back, Tucson and all of Southern Arizona. Good morning to you. This live drive time hour of Tipping Point with Zach Yenser here on AM 1030 KVUI The Voice. It's our Monday morning news hour here coming to you live out of the Common Workspace Studios. We get you into the week by talking about the issues at hand, coming out of the weekend and looking at the week ahead. A short one for us all, or most of us, I hope, as we get ready to celebrate Thanksgiving and really kick off the holiday season. This segment is sponsored by Little Love Burger. They opened downtown on October 20th, just a few doors down from the Rialto Theater. Little Love Burger is serving up the juiciest burgers, loaded hot dogs, have ice cream milkshakes, local brews, and breakfast sandwiches. You can follow them on social at Little Love Burger. We're with Louis Christensen this morning. He called in 520-790-2040 to join us as our guest today. You can as well at any time. We've been talking some U of A sports. We've been talking about the economic philosophy of the ice rink and demystifying whatever that means, and it means good things in the last segment. Louis, we've got two big topics to talk about, but I want to ask you at least one more quick follow-up question. You mentioned in the last segment that the success that you've seen from things that, like an ice rink, you put it where people are going to shop and dine and eat and spend some time. The expansion for the Keno Sports Complex that the Board of Supervisors passed earlier this summer is not just a sports complex expansion, but it's supposed to include entertainment venues, a parking garage, hotels, retail and dining space, a medical office building, multifamily housing, community and plaza areas. So in this case, they're not necessarily putting more stuff where people already are. It's still Keno, but they're going to bring those things there. What do you think? Is this better than 1.0? Or do you still have concerns? You made me curious.
This is what 1.0 should have been. I mean, granted, if you would have taken this type of an approach, maybe you would have built out High Corbett to do this type of a thing. Not that you had a lot of space there, but this is it. This is what we needed in the first place. This is what Phoenix and Scottsdale have been doing, and that's why they've been getting all of the, big moneymaker softball, baseball, volleyball, hockey, all those types of youth league tournaments. That's why they've really, really exploded. While we, I played in the Fort Lowell shootout when I was a kid, and it was like you painted your face and you like walked with a banner. Now it's like a multi-million-dollar, game for Tucson every single year, which is crazy to think about. This is exactly what I'm talking about. We need more of this across Tucson. We need to start making the loop an economic benefit, not just a health benefit to our communities. We need to get other places around Tucson to do this exact same thing. It feels like Campbell and Rivers kind of starting to get on board with this. They're putting that big hotel there. There's some housing going in pretty close by there as well. This is it. This is where the multiplier really starts to kick in. So, good on City Council for fixing what I think would be their mistake in the first place. I think they built too many fields and not enough hotels and rooms and other entertainments. The easier you can make it for someone to spend money with you, the more money people are going to spend. It's not that hard.
Yeah, the Pima County Board of Supervisors voted 3-2, just to remind folks, on July 6th to approve this business plan designed to be a public-private partnership. Okay, Louis, that was a follow-up question from the last conversation. You mentioned housing. Let's go there. here before we go to another break. Tell me I'm not the only crazy person who thinks the topic of attainable housing in Tucson should be a front-of-mind topic for many of us.
Yeah, I think it definitely needs to be. And here's kind of the angle that I want to take today, because you hear we need to work on affordable housing, and it immediately feels like it's a one side of the political aisle conversation, and it's really not. The balance of affordable housing is how you kind of come up with it. This is super, super, you know, we don't have very much time, so dwindle down. It's the kind of the income of the average person in the town versus the cost of housing. That's the balance there. So I think everyone who's listening today thinks one side of that balance is more important than the other. Depending on who you are, you might think both are important. I personally think both are super, super important, and you don't have one without the other. I think Tucson has gotten to this issue a lot differently than other cities, like, let's say, San Francisco, right? Who everyone points to that place as a not affordable city. They did not build enough housing, and their economics there exploded with the tech bubble. Tucson, I feel like it got there a lot slower with, we didn't build a lot of housing, and then we also didn't build any economic system to help folks afford what is here. Then you have, you know, obviously we've always and will continue to be a popular retiree environment, a place where people can just stay and live, especially folks who have been here a long time. And then you add in the remote workers, and all of a sudden those housing prices can go up while incomes within the town stay stagnant. And so, you know, with the Casita thing kind of on the fritz, I haven't seen where it stands right now, but it sounds like it's kind of going back to decisions with the city council. That is obviously cutting down on the amount of housing that we can kind of start to fill in to Tucson. Obviously, we're not going to raise, you know, go ahead and mow down all of Midtown Tucson to replace it with skyscrapers and towers and stuff like that. But we definitely need to work on it. No matter which side of the aisle you tend to fall on, there's some big issues here, and it's going to hurt everything across the board if we don't fix it.
Hey, everybody, we've lost Zach. I think we're going to take an early break and reestablish our communications. If you just hang on a second, we're going to take a little early break. We'll be right back with Tipping Point with Zach Ensor.
Local news and talk all morning on 1030 The Voice.
What are the community stories that define us? Talking about these stories are what Tipping Point is about, and what Storyteller PR, a public relations firm in Tucson, has been doing meaningfully for years in our community. Storyteller PR activates publicity, social media, and event production to establish and strengthen the reputation of Southern Arizona brands and organizations. What story do you need to tell? Visit us at storytellerpr.com to learn more. Zach Ensor here. I'm so excited to be a part of the launch of the Little Love Burger this fall here in Tucson. Located just two doors down from the Rialto Theater, Little Love Burger serves up the juiciest scratch-made hamburgers, loaded hot dogs, Hub ice cream milkshakes, lovable local brews, and the most addictive breakfast sandwiches. Starting October 20th, Little Love Burger is open Sunday to Wednesday, 8 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Thursday to Saturday, 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. Follow them on Instagram and Facebook. Tucson, don't you want some burger to love? You love Decibel Coffee Works, the coffee of Tipping Point and the Ensor household, for their quality roasted coffee and beans. Now they're giving you even more reasons. Open now, the Scratch Kitchen at the MSA Annex will provide quick and easy breakfast and lunch with vegetarian and vegan options available to enjoy with your drink. Visit the MSA Annex right off the I-10 and Cushing to be one of the first to try. 267 South Avenida del Convento.
In 2021, FC Tucson was just getting started. We're building something special that all of Tucson can be proud of. Don't miss FC Tucson in action in 2022. Secure your season tickets now at fctucson.com or call 520-600-3095 and download the FC Tucson app in the App Store or Google Play to get updates on MLS preseason as FC Tucson welcomes the biggest teams in U.S. soccer in January and February.
Why I Love Where I Live. It's a brand and movement that began here in Tucson to spark gratitude and celebrate the good things about where we live. Located in the open-air Mercado San Agustin Annex just west of downtown, it's a great place to shop or spend time with friends as you enjoy food, drink, and other shopping options close by. Find gifts, toys, books, and clothes that will help you celebrate where you live. Visit them at the Annex off the I-10 at Cushing and Avenida del Convento.
When you manage your money with a credit union, you're taking true ownership of your finances and how your money impacts the community. Stop letting banking just happen to you. Bring your money home to Vantage West, federally insured by NCUA.
After you finish listening to The Tipping Point, listen to my show, The Hugh Hewitt Show, this morning from 10 to noon, right here on 1030 KBOI The Voice.
All right, we got Zach coming on in just a moment. Meanwhile, we're talking with Louis Christensen about affordable housing. And Louis, here we go. Hang on a second. Louis, you're on.
All right. Hey, well, this is a coup. This is my radio station now. Welcome to Tipping Points with Louis Christensen. Just kidding. Zach will get back on in just a second. What we were talking about was affordable housing in Tucson. All right, here we go. Zach's back. I'll just continue until we get him in here. And how it feels like it's only on one side of the political conversation. And really, this is a topic that hits everything. If you can't have folks who are able to afford their bills, their rents, their livelihoods, then you don't have folks who can then take any disposable money and spend it elsewhere in town. It is an important factor, even on the economic side, not even just kind of the livelihood side and things that, again, one side of the aisle might think are a little bit not important, or maybe the person's problem. What I would really like to see Tucson and Arizona do is coming up with more incentives for real estate developers, for builders, for, you know, tenants and landlords, that aid in adding affordable housing, as opposed to restricting folks. I always think incentives are better. Luckily, there is one that just went through not too long ago, SB 1076. What that does, that bill allows for builders to get charged less property tax for units that have more lower income housing involved. So you can then build housing in places where maybe the property prices are a little bit higher. It makes it easier for those places to be built. We should be making things easier to do, not harder to do or put up barriers. So I think I hear Zach on the other side there. Zach, are you there?
Louis, we are back. Thanks, man.
Ooh, there we go.
No, you know what? I know we have one more topic to jump to, and I think some of our technology is ready for the Thanksgiving break. But
I guess so.
Louis, you guest host this program every now and again, so in good hands. But no, I got to jam a little bit with Tim Steller, the Metro columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. He just put out an article, and here's been his description. I think then we can move on. As Tucson's housing prices spiral into unaffordability, the city council dawdles on the one incremental step it's taken so far, a new guest house ordinance. Normal Tucson residents need more action faster. And I mean, I've been, and so have you, Louis, I think, been preaching that message. Normal people need more action faster on this issue and other issues. But this problem has really spiraled out of control quickly in Tucson. And look, if you care for more people having more opportunity to be housed and to have a home and to generate the wealth from that, and that's your focus, this issue is important. If you're passionate about an effective and productive tax base, that ultimately helps the entire economy because people have places to live. I mean, this also counts for that. So I think, Louis, trying to say this is not a right or left, Republican or Democratic issue, I think is really important. And I think we need to move very quickly on this issue because we're getting close to that tipping point, no pun intended, where some of our peer cities have gone. I mean, San Diego right now isn't even on the map dashboard map. They are so unaffordable. Right. They're not even on the map. This is a city problem. We have a chance to fix it, and we got to move faster on it. So
absolutely, yeah. Please. And
go ahead.
Any
fine words on that? Or I know that you've done some really cool stuff on
Tucson tomorrow around Tucson's transportation and overlaying our transportation grid with places like New York City and others. Really fascinating stuff, Louis. Well, let's go there if you don't mind.
Yeah, absolutely. So what I did, despite what some people believed, was I took the map of Tucson and just overlaid cities that we all kind of know have really good public transit, rail systems and stuff like that. So I overlaid those maps just on top of Tucson. And really, it was just like, hey, let's just see what shakes out, right? Why are these places so good? Why is Tucson so bad? And it's really striking. I mean, you'll be able to see them if you hop onto Twitter and go to Tucson tomorrow. But just for one example, we'll narrow it down to Manhattan. The entire city of Manhattan fits in Tucson between 22nd and Grant, between the I-10 and about Pantano. Now, that area has thousands of trains and hundreds of stops. And that means that the average Manhattan resident lives about a quarter of a mile from the nearest subway station. So for that to be true in Tucson, Arizona, as sprawled out as we are, we would need 810 subway stops for that to be true, based on our population density. That's how spread out we are. 810, that's twice as many as all of New York City. And just to kind of put that into perspective, how we can kind of view that, in day-to-day life on our community as we're driving around, there are about 135 major, Swan and Grant intersections in Tucson. So eight times as many subway stops to have the same population density to train ratio as Manhattan. Now, why are we even talking about this? It seems ridiculous. We need to be talking about our public transit and especially expensive investments like rail systems realistically. We are never going to have the train system that Manhattan does. You, Tucsonan, average person out there, you're never going to be able to walk a quarter of a mile to a train stop and go a mile down the street and hop off. We need to rethink how we're talking about those things so we don't make massive mistakes and waste our money. That's the big thing. We really need to rethink how we view train systems and stuff like that so we can actually have productive conversations as opposed to just chasing our tail in these pipe dreams.
So I think a question that I think of when you put all this into perspective, should Tucson stay more car focused? Should we, because a lot of people will say, look, I don't know, the window seems to be closing, if not already closed, on an east-west freeway kind of speedway system. I know there's some plans along golf links and such. Certainly north to south, I don't know if we can make a freeway that way. Many are saying, look, we need to think more multimodal, not because it's cool or, sexy or anything like that, but because it may be the only way that Tucson can level up its transportation system. Mm-hmm. Do you agree with that? And if so, to any degree, how should we be thinking about all of this based on our kind of sprawl and lack of density?
Yeah, I think we are very much a place where we need to think about our city more like a country views their systems and less like a small European city. Just for example, between Florence and Siena, two rather large-ish sized cities in Italy, is about 30 miles away. From the east side of Tucson to the west side of Tucson, like just the metro area, like what's actually considered Metro Tucson, is about 20 miles. Right. So when we think about public transit, a lot of us in our experiences abroad where we actually have that or on vacation to Boston, New York, we don't do it without cars and we're already kind of just within one little ecosystem. I think we're never going to ditch the car. We're never going to get rid of it, especially in a city like Tucson, at least for a few decades, maybe. I don't know what the future holds. And the main reason is I go grocery shopping on Tankerville and Grant, right? Or maybe some other part of town. But then I go drive over to George's Wine Shop on Broadway and Craycroft, an amazing wine shop, by the way, if you're looking for Thanksgiving wine. I am not employed there, and he's not paying me to say it. I just really like him.
Really, really cool. This show yet?
Yeah. I'm not a sponsor of their show yet, but I'm opening the door for you, Zach. So go ahead and make the phone call. So I drive over there, and then I go and pick up my daughter from daycare somewhere else. and then I go to whatever, Ace Hardware. We were already so sprawled out in the first place that I don't think you're ever going to get rid of it. I think it'd be a lot more beneficial. Again, why do we want the train system in the first place? We can't do the quarter mile walking thing. It's impossible. It's never going to happen. Scratch it off your list. You're never going to be able to walk out your door and get to downtown Tucson on average, the average person, on a rail line, because it doesn't make sense. Even like timing wise, like we'd really go into it, but running out of time. It just doesn't make sense. It will be faster and cheaper to get in your car and drive downtown. What we could do, though, if the goal is to get more cars off of crosstown traffic, which would, again, speed up crosstown traffic, is an express lines from the outskirts in and put stops far enough away from downtown to where or U of A or, you know, maybe even U of A Tech Park, where a lot of our people, the mass of people, are going in the first place. Then you get to alleviate traffic in that stretch, right? It really doesn't help to get someone who lives at Tucson and Speedway onto a train to U of A's campus. That's like a 5-minute benefit to the road system. It would be really awesome if we could get someone who lives on Broadway and Pantano out of their car and into an express line that makes maybe one more stop before getting to U of A's campus. Do you see how that, there's a big difference there,
right?
Is you draw those circles and you go, what is the, again, economic multiplier? What is the biggest benefit? What is the biggest problem? The problem isn't Sam Hughes residents getting to downtown. They don't have problems with that. The same way that I walked from the TCC, the Tucson Convention Center, to Fourth Avenue the other day with a bunch of my colleagues. First off, never once did the train pass us, which is a huge problem, but it was not hard to do that. We need to implement things that actually solve the problem that we want to do, and that's alleviating pressure on the systems from crosstown traffic. So that's how we should set it up.
Got it. No, this is interesting. And again, if you're just joining us or you recently joined us, we're with Louis Christensen this morning, curator of the Twitter feed Tucson Tomorrow. Definitely go search it on Twitter, if nothing else, to see Louis' map overlays of overlapping other cities and communities onto Tucson's scale. I think we forget how geographically large our community is. Certainly, you know, here from our perspective, Phoenix is and looks a whole lot bigger, but we are a sprawled out metro ourselves. And Louis, this is especially relevant because last Monday, President Biden signed the infrastructure bill, and the Tucson dollars being received could be going towards some initial kind of FTA input on a north-south expansion of the streetcar that could go from that kind of that Campbell River area all the way to the Tucson airport. And so it's relevant now, I think, to start thinking about, okay, what do we want this all to look like? And I think it's important, too, to say, look, as Tucson's population continues to grow, and I think it will continue to grow, and to me, that's not a pro-growth or no-growth situation. It's just a gonna-grow situation. Yeah. You know, I'm not fully sold on we just annex our way to the future, because I think if you look at the math, often, you know, the cost of all the services, the ROI tends to kind of go down. And so my mindset more is, how do we maximize the city limits that we have? And I think ultimately that means smart growth, smart density, and smart transportation. And that doesn't mean anti-car or pro-car. Like, I hate how this conversation always is, well, if you like bikes and streetcars, you're anti-car. I have a minivan and I use the streetcar. I mean, that's how normal people do this. you know, and we lose that in the petty parlor politics of this stuff. But we have to be thinking about what the future looks like. And I think you've made a lot of people think, Louis, with what you've put together. Man, we got like, let's do a minute and a half left, Louis. Any final words? And of course, point people back to your Twitter.
Yeah, again, I would really love to see a line going from the Tucson airport to downtown. I think that'd be a win.
Yeah,
again, like 100%. We just talked about. And again, down Campbell, that goes right by the Keno complex, all the way up to Campbell and River. All of a sudden, you got an ability for someone to hop on the train at maybe the U of A's campus farm, which I think they're looking to potentially, they're at least pricing it out to see what they could get for that land. Not all of it. That could be a really great place to put a parking lot. and get folks down there. Maybe charge per car into a parking lot at those places instead of per person. Now, what that would do, Zach, is it would make people carpool, right? Get more people off the road that way, too. So there's a lot of different ways that we can, again, solve the problem. But we have to lay out the problem that we're trying to solve. And then when we see the solution, go, is this actually solving it? Or is this just expanding something that either no one's using or the mass market is isn't bought into? Again, and this would be the last thing. You know, the number one selling car, number one selling electric car in the United States isn't the cheapest electric car, Zach.
Mm.
You want to know why?
That's fascinating.
It's because they made it look really, really cool, and it is really, really cool, right? The Nissan Leaf is like the fourth or fifth best-selling electric car. Tesla takes up everything else above it, and then Chevy Volt is in there as well. So what that says is that people with money also care about the environment. They also want to get on board, but there has to be a benefit to them. They don't want to drive something that looks stupid, like the first Nissan Leaf. They want to drive something that looks cool.
Mm.
Same thing with Tucson. You have all these people in Catfoot. You might think that those are the types of people that would just, gosh darn it, hate to have public transit in there in Tucson. But if they could drive down to Campbell and River, have a great time at that plaza, hop onto a train, go to a U of A game and back out, they're going to do it.
Sure.
Let's make it a benefit, not just something that we just do because we can and have the money for it.
Louis Christensen, Tucson tomorrow. Thanks, Louis. We'll do this again soon.
Absolutely. See ya.
Thanks, Louis. When we come back, Tucson, we'll talk to a candidate for governor in Arizona. You shoot up next. Go Buckmaster after that. See you tomorrow, Tucson.